Open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we come to a very exciting question, and that is, what will heaven be like? Now, often we have a strange separation in our minds between heaven and earth. And that's not how it was in the beginning. In the beginning, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and heaven and earth were one. But then there was sin that entered into the creation. And now man and God are separated by a great gulf fixed. Aren't you glad that one day God is going to bring heaven and earth together because Jesus stood in the gap? Jesus is the one who brings heaven and earth together. He was rejected by heaven, by his Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was rejected by the Romans and the Jews. He was rejected by the earth. And through that great sacrifice, our Lord will one day bring heaven and earth together as one, just as it was in the beginning. Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. I love the quote from Abraham Kuyper, who famously said, there is not one inch in the entire area of our human life about which Christ, who is sovereign of all, does not cry out, mine. It's all his. It was his from the beginning. And he gave that dominion over to man. And man, through sin and through pride and through the same rebellion that we have in all of our hearts, lost that dominion, and the earth became a place of brokenness and iniquity. Have you felt some of that iniquity and that brokenness in your life, even this week? But the Lord is going to renew the earth one day, and to remove this brokenness and to remove the iniquity from our lives. And the earth will be a place where righteousness dwells, not lawlessness. If God were to end history and reign forever in a distant heaven, earth would be remembered as a graveyard of sin and failure. But instead, the earth will be renaissanced. It will be born again, as it were. It will be brought through the birth pangs into a new creation. All of those things that we forfeited at the beginning will be birthed anew. This is what theologians call continuity. What does that mean? It means that when I am raised from the dead in the glory of Jesus, I won't be something other than a human being, but I will be a glorified human being. There will be a continuity. I will recognize myself, though hopefully I don't look the same. And I will recognize God's saints, but you will not look exactly the same. But there will be, amen. And there will be, though, a continuity. And all the failure and all the ugliness and all the sin will be removed, and we will be renewed and we will be fully redeemed. Oh, eye has not seen, Paul said, and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But he goes on to say that we have the Spirit who is right now revealing those things to us. You see, it's an already but not yet. We have all of this. The earth is ours. The universe is ours right now. But there's coming a day when the glorious redemption of the sons of God, the children of God, will bring a full glorification of the earth because of our Lord Jesus. Listen to the words of Anthony Hokema. He said, quote, since where God dwells, there heaven is, we conclude that in the life to come, heaven and earth will no longer be separated as they are now, but they will be merged. Believers will therefore continue to be in heaven as they continue to live on the new earth. Heaven and earth will become one, unquote. Are we going to be on the new earth? Yes. Will we be on the new heaven? Yes. It'll all be at the same time. They'll be merged together. But what will it be like on the new earth in eternity? Well, let's consider, first of all, the people of the new heaven and the new earth. And in order to understand this, we are going to end up in Revelation. But first, let's go to Abraham's covenant, the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. It's also renewed in Genesis 15. And so what we have here is God tells Abraham, who was a pagan at that time, who worshipped idols, he tells Abraham, get up. It's Abraham's burning bush situation, so to speak. Get up and go and leave your country. And leave your family. Look at this in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This promise was made to a man with a barren wife. She was childless. And God says, I'm starting over. So if you want to see the scheme of redemption, the trajectory of God's grace, you have the creation of the world. You have Adam and Eve, and they fall into sin. And lawlessness rules around the world. And so God brings what? A flood. He preaches, he gives the preaching of the good news through Noah. And the entire humanity is taken away in judgment. And only those who are on the ark are saved. A picture of Jesus, who is ultimately our ark. And then after the flood of Noah, people became proud once again and they began to build a tower to heaven, that nothing would be impossible for them, as it says in Genesis 11:6. And so the pride and the lawlessness of their heart became so great that God confused their languages at the Tower of Babel, and they were scattered. But out of that mass of confused humanity, God again had a renaissance. He started anew and afresh through Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I'm giving you this great land, and I'm giving you this great family. Now you need to leave your land. You need to leave the land of the Chaldeans. And you need to go to the land that I've promised you. And you need to leave your family. And you need to believe me that I'm going to give you a family. Look over at Genesis 15, if you would. Just a few chapters over. The covenant is renewed. Genesis 15. And we look at verse 1, God says to Abram, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Look at verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, because Abraham wanted to make his servant Eliezer his heir, because he wasn't having any children. He said, no, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Look at the stars. Look at the sands of the sea. This is how your offspring is going to be. But Lord, my wife is barren. We serve a great God, don't we? He says, leave your family and I'll give you the land. Leave all of these things. I'll take care of your descendants. And I want you to turn over to Romans. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans 4:13. We'll get into this in a little bit more, a little bit later. But look at this little note. Romans 4, it says, the promise to Abraham and his offspring would, that he would be heir of what? The world. He would be heir of the world. And so what we have here is a promise to Abraham to not only redeem humanity, but to redeem the world. To have dominion not only over the promised land, but in the New Testament we find out it's really to have dominion over the entire world. The meek shall inherit not just the promised land, but the whole earth. And we're going to see this as it comes together as the promise of God to redeem humanity in a new Eden, in a new creation, through a new federal head, Jesus Christ. Oh, the promises that God has. He uses very humble tools. Can you imagine Sarah? Barren, at times despondent. And God chooses to use a proud man and a barren woman. And he says, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. See, that's what Revelation is all about. It's about God renewing humanity and renewing heaven and earth. You might ask, well, what about our ethnic identities in heaven? We think about the people of heaven. Will we retain our likeness? Look over at Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And here we have at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who presides over redemption's history. And he's the one that's going to open the scroll of redemption. And he'll bring judgment and redemption. There's two sides to the scroll. He's the one who is able to open the scroll. No one else is able. No one else is to preside that can both bring redemption and judgment. No one else is worthy. Jesus is worthy. And we read the song that the elders sing to the Lamb. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall what? They will reign on the earth. See, this is before Jesus brings heaven to earth. But he says, these are the ones that will bring, that will reign on the earth. And they are those from what? Every tribe and language and people and nation. What a joy it was to go over to Brazil with the Fragoso family, to meet with 2,000 pastors, to go to prayer meetings and different events with those that are preaching the gospel. I'm told that there are 22 million Protestant Christians in Brazil. Hallelujah to the Savior. I'm told that there's nearing, as we mentioned in the Lord's table, 100 million Christians in China. God is on the move. And when we get to heaven, if you're all Anglo or you're all Afro or you're all Asian and that's all you like, then heaven is not going to be heaven for you. You got to understand that heaven is a multicultural place. And if we truly have the heart of God, we will have a multicultural outlook on the fields. will have a heart as big as God's is. How's your heart this morning? Are you in your comfort zone? Are you in your nice, whatever ethnicity you are, and you have these customs and you have these ideas? That's wonderful. We celebrate that. But don't just celebrate that. You see, one theologian, Herman Bavinck, said it this way: all those nations, each in accordance with its own distinct national character, bring into the New Jerusalem all they have received from God in the way of glory and honor, unquote. It's as if this collective is what God has chosen to display himself, because these are all made into his image. And just one culture and one entity is not enough to display the beauties of the Almighty God. We need to have a collective understanding of the church. Sure, there are different groups of people all over the world worshiping. And some people groups are not able to travel to other people groups. But in this day of modern transportation and in the place that we are in, this church ought to look like heaven. Our church, Living Hope Bible Church, ought to have the diversity of heaven. I mean, how many ethnicities are there in a 100-mile radius of this church? And what are we doing to bring the good news to them? You see, heaven isn't going to look just like you. Heaven's going to be made up of people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. You see, there is a new humanity, and the walls of hostility, as Paul says in Ephesians, are torn down. And you say, well, what is all of this? All of this is the outflow of God fulfilling his promises to Abraham. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26. If you really want to understand what theologians call ecclesiology, this is Paul's doctrine of the church. This is how he understands the promises to Israel and to the nations. Look at this. He says in verse 26, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." I mean, that's a big deal to say to Jews. That all, both Jews and Gentiles, are sons of God through faith. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." God has not forgotten his promises. God fulfilled his promises even at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. First, on the Jews. And the church was primarily Jewish for the first decade, until they preached to the Samaritans. That's northern Israel, Ephraim in the prophets. And God says Ephraim and Judah will come back together. And yes, they did come back together in the church. And then they would reach the nations. And if you are in Christ, then all of the promises to Abraham are yours, because you've been engrafted in to Christ, who is the true Israel. Hallelujah. And so I am not simply looking for Palestine. I'm looking for that, but Palestine's too small. You see, Abraham, according to Paul in Romans, is an heir not just of the strip of land in Palestine, but of the entire cosmos. And God's people are Jewish, but they're not just Jewish. And I want to see all the Jews saved, and there are many promises to that end. But all the nations of the earth will be brought in. There will be representatives from every country and every language group. And I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know the gospel is going forward in ways in our day that are unfathomable. And so there will be a sense of international ethnicities in heaven. I can't wait when I get to the heavenly earth and I'm able to talk with my Chinese brethren without an interpreter, or my Brazilian brethren who I really tried to speak with. I was speaking in Spanish, they were speaking in Portuguese, and we kind of barely caught each other. And I'm not going to need that in the new heavenly earth. I'm going to be able to understand, and I'll be able to talk to them, and we'll have perfect fellowship. But there will be a beauty of multiple ethnicities, which is really the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. There is this corporate aspect to God's image. My clock says I'm an hour late. Let me ask you, is it your desire to see your church, Living Hope Bible Church, expand in multicultural directions? Is it really your heart and desire? Do you really want that? I want to encourage you to take action on that. Do you understand the statistics of where you live in a 100-mile radius? 18% of those around us are now Indian people. How many of you, anyone Indian here? Praise God. We need to be passing out literature and Bibles in Urdu, in Hindi. I don't speak those languages, but I want to see God redeeming them. Don't you? And how many of you know of any Koreans? Maybe they live near you. Do you know that we have a Korean ministry that's going on right now in this church? As I'm speaking, the word is going forth both in Spanish and in Korean. And don't you want to see that expand? Don't you want to see the flags of every country represented in people right here where we live? We need to pray for more multicultural ministries being established at Living Hope. So we've talked about the people of heaven. Let's just briefly look at the culture of the new heaven and earth. It's a fantastic culture. It is an environment that will be renewed. Work will not be laborious. We'll eat, we'll converse, we'll hold positions of authority. We'll travel across the new earth. We'll worship together. Leaders of nations will bring the splendor of different cultures into the new earth where Jesus Christ reigns on his throne. Just imagine the most beautiful art piece, or the most brilliant music, or the most reasoned literature, or crafts of every kind, or technology and clothing, jewelry, education, various kinds of food from all cultures. All these things will be part of society and culture in the new heaven and the new earth. In eternity, we will continue to function as God's image bearers. And as a new humanity, we will continue serving God's purposes with sanctified, renewed, and glorified bodies and glorified imaginations. I believe the art and the music will seem elementary when we remember it from earth, from the old earth, from the fallen earth. the strains of music that we will be able to play. And all of us will sing in tune. We'll have no problem learning and inventing new instruments. You see, in God's presence for all of eternity, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And those pleasures come through culture, through cooking, through architecture. Revelation 22, in our reading today, the scripture says that when the new heaven and the new earth come, we're going to worship God. And the idea is to serve him through worship. It's not just a worship service, though we will have that. But we will serve him through all of these wonderful extensions of culture. Now I know what you're wondering. Well, you're talking about culture. What will our language be in heaven? Well, we all know that Spanish is the celestial language. I'm sorry, I just learned that it's actually Portuguese. Some say, well, Jesus spoke Hebrew, so, you know, it must be Hebrew or Aramaic. The truth is, we don't know what language we will speak in heaven. In Revelation 7:10, the scripture says they all cried out with a loud voice. These were people of every tribe, tongue, and nation and people. And so they cried out with a loud voice. The idea is that they were a singular voice. They shared a language. Will it be that we speak our own language and simply understand others? I don't know. Will there be another language that we know? I don't know. But I do know this, we will all understand each other. And what we have really is the Tower of Babel reversed when we get to heaven. You know the story, we've summarized it already. The people want to build a tower to heaven and God divides all of the languages. But God reverses Babel. And instead of people building a city for their own glory, God builds a city for his glory that his people might inhabit. Uniting them not for their glory, but for his glory. And our diversity will serve everyone's good. The joy of different cultures. All of our cultures will be stripped of the iniquity and sin and rebellion. All of our cultures. So the way that people worship, when we were in Spain, we always did a lot of clapping and hand raising. We should probably do that here a little bit more. Everybody has a different way of many different things that we do. And we'll be able to enjoy it all. Some are very pietistic and quiet. Some of us need to do that sometimes. And just listen to God. And be still and know that he is God. But in heaven, the people will be renewed. And though we will continue in our culture, we will be able to learn new cultures. We will be able to serve God in many cultures, but we will never sin again. I'm done with this message. I've got another part that I'm going to give next week, but let me just close by saying this. One of the things about culture in heaven is that there's no marriage in heaven. Everybody say, that's bad news. No marriage in heaven. Sorry, Mike and Victoria. Sorry, Pastor Michael and Emily. No marriage in heaven. And there's others, I know. There'll be others that are getting married this year too. You're in love. No marriage in heaven. You know, there'll come a day, God willing, when Victoria or Emily, you'll see him. And right by my side, there'll be a trembling groom. Right? And what a sight. And the next most beautiful sight that any man will ever see is Jesus. See, there's no need for marriage in heaven, because the joy that we have in heaven, if you can imagine, far supersedes the greatest joys of even our closest earthly relationships. And by the way, Paul said, if you have marriage, you're going to have some trouble too. All of that will be removed. And we will be married to a perfect bridegroom. And he will be married to a spotless bride. No sin anymore. I can't wait. Let's stand together. Father, we ask as we close this worship service that we might not be forgetful hearers. The joys that we experienced recounting your promises that Eden will be restored and that Jesus will reign as King. That we would not go out of here and be sucked right back into this world system, but that we would be filled with joy, that we would go reach someone that is not like us for the gospel, that we will be bold and compassionate. Lord, have mercy on us. We are dull of hearing. And at times we allow the fire that you've put in our souls to go out. So reignite us all this morning with great joy and hope, knowing that you are the one who saves, renews. You're the one who brings regeneration. And so bring it, Lord. Bring it through us. Bring it through your word that we speak on our lips. And bring it as well in sanctification in each one of our lives. I pray for marriages here this morning, that there would be a renewed surrender to King Jesus. I pray for singles here, that there would be a renewed desire for service, not just for the singles, but also for the married. And I pray, God, for a renewed vision of evangelism, not just here, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' stead. Amen.